Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. In his message titled, The Humble Brag, Reverend David Williams tells us that the gifts and talents that God has given us are meant to be used to build up others, not to build up ourselves. We need to know what God asks of us, to share our gifts and blessings with others, and to be part of His plan here on earth. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
So here we are, gathered in the surprising cool of a summer day, in this place to worship. And we come in to this gathering as a people who know we're called to serve one another and called to care for one another, and that whatever gifts we have are meant to be turned to the support of each other. But we come into this place from a culture that is very different, from a culture that is red in tooth and claw, from a society that teaches us we have to constantly be pitching ourselves. We have to be proving ourselves better than others, that we are endlessly competing, endlessly pushing others down. And that has an effect on our souls and how we present ourselves and how we interact. And from this humble space as we gather, let's admit that sometimes that does affect us. It shapes how we think of ourselves and how we treat with others. Let's admit that it doesn't always affect us for the best, and let's do so through the prayer of confession, which is in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying. Gracious and sovereign Lord, all around us, our culture tells us what we're meant to do and how we are meant to live. We have to self-promote. We have to fake it till we make it. We have to tend to our brands and manage our narratives. And so we tell a story of ourselves that just isn't real. We let ourselves pretend that we are something that we are not. And from that place of falseness, we add to the brokenness of the world. For our pride, Lord, please forgive us. In Christ's name, forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 10. You can follow along on page 185 in your pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's holy word. Paul writes, I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On the behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in each and every heart and mind gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You grow older and language changes. There are words around, words that are in common use that just didn't exist when I was a kid. And one of those words that I hear more now is the word humble brag. Anyone heard that one? Humble brag. It's one of those internet era words. And it describes this peculiar passive-aggressive approach to telling someone you're the most amazing and impressive thing that has ever lived. And at the same time, implying that you are humble, you're oh so humble, there is no one humbler than you. And the humble brag, if you're doing it right, requires 2 elements. First, there is the thing you really want to say, which is that you're amazing and everyone should be jealous of you. And they should all like the humble brag, whatever media you've put it up. And second, there is the part where you throw in this flagrantly false lament about yourself. Like humble bragging, you'd say, "I just can't believe how clumsy I am. That is the 3rd time this month I've spilled my mocha on the seat of our brand new Bentley. I'm such a fumble fingers." Or, "OMG, only the 5th day of our around the world cruise and I almost locked myself out of my royal balcony suite again." Ugh. You can also mask humble bragging as a complaint. "Just got the first electric bill," or "a 13,000 square foot new home." "Oh, Pepco are such thieves." Ugh. Or, "You'd think a 5-star restaurant would have better service. I can't believe the wait between the 4th course and dessert." You're showing off. And I blame social media entirely for this word and this trend, which is not a surprise because it's fun to blame social media for everything. But I think were it not for humble bragging and Ukrainian troll farms, Facebook's business model wouldn't even work. It just wouldn't be there. And it's a phenomenon we know, and it's a phenomenon we now more and more see. But there's a strange thing about this humble bragging phenomenon. It's totally ineffective. Doesn't work at all. There was a study published earlier this year in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. I do not have a subscription, but I do know how to Google. Early this year, it was published by a research team from Harvard and UNC Chapel Hill. And it found that if you want to present a self-image, if you want someone to have a sense of you as a person, there is no worse way to promote yourself than humble bragging. It is the least effective way to get people to sympathize with you because, I mean, the people who engage in this behavior think they're getting the best of both worlds. On the one hand, eliciting sympathy, and on the other hand, making you envious and doing it all at once and all at the same time. But the net effect is exactly the opposite because, I mean, come on, we're not idiots. We see right through that. And that's the research conducted by this Harvard UNC team of psychologists showed that most human beings, do we like people who brag? Generally not. One would think we don't, but yeah. Do we like people who complain, who whine all the time about everything? We don't. But their survey found that people prefer flagrant braggarts and complainers to folks who humble brag all the time, because at least the braggarts and the whiners are being straight up about themselves. They're not trying to fake that they're something. At least they're honest about it. So it doesn't work, but we kind of still do it. And in the knowledge of that current phenomenon, it's sort of odd to encounter the Apostle Paul doing a little bit of sort of strange bragging this morning, kind of humble bragging a little bit as he continues his struggles with the mess of the church at Corinth. And Corinth was a place where, you know, you could say, now entering Corinth, braggarts welcome. You know, I mean, that was that kind of town. It was the kind of place where self-promotion was expected, where you talking endlessly about how impressive you were was just what you did. I mean, that's what everybody did. It's because it was a social climbing zoo of a city where social networks and power and wealth were all that counted, where everyone was in it for themselves and no one could be trusted. Because in Corinth, what matters was that you were successful, or at least that you pretended to be. And the richer and more connected you were, the better off you were as a person, the better the society considered you. It was a place of masks and falsehood as the Corinthians peacocked around, showing off for one another and trying to impress their way up the social ladder. It would be nice to say that once the people of Corinth finally got to know Jesus, once that church was planted, that they realized that this was not how Jesus functioned. It would be nice to say that. But also, reading Paul's letters to Corinth, we know that would be nice but wrong. The folks in Corinth, once they entered a church, still liked being impressive. They enjoyed showing off, and that meant that every single Corinthian, once they got into a church, they were the most spiritual person you ever knew. They were so holy, and they wanted you to know it. And the best way to know it is by doing that in the most demonstrative way possible, which is why the Corinthians were particularly fond of falling into ecstasies and having mystic dreams and having intense visions and speaking in tongues, which they did a lot. Because if you're speaking in a tongue, people can see you are doing something big and impressive. Paul challenged them on that in 1 Corinthians 12. And they didn't really respond. They kept up with that. Which is why I think 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul reminds them, what's the best gift? Is it the loudest, shiniest, brightest, most impressive gift? It's not. It is not shiny sparkles and stars in the sky kind of faith that Jesus was teaching. It was love for one another. That was fundamental, and the Corinthians, they really never got that message. Is there still a church in Corinth today? No. Does Corinth today even still exist as a city? No, it doesn't. But they tore at each other. They went after one another. And the other thing that they did, beyond wanting to be impressive themselves, is they wanted the people around them to be impressive. They were impressed by shiny people who had shiny things, which is where we find ourselves before we get into today's reading. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we hear that the Corinthian church had gotten itself tangled up with this group of early Christian leaders who Paul called, sarcastically, super apostles. These were like the sort of Marvel Universe apostles, I guess, the ones with special powers. They were spiritually powerful people who made a point of sharing with everyone their visions and dreams to their own service, for their own ego. They were obviously prosperous. They wore the nicest robes. They had the fanciest things. They had jewels on their fingers because Jesus loved them best of all. And you knew it because they were so wealthy and prosperous, and they were happy to let the world know that. They were amazed and were sure of themselves, and they sparkled like diamonds, and the Corinthians bought their thing, hook, line, and sinker, which made Paul nuts, as the entire Corinthian church did every time he communicated with them. So it's not a surprise. In the face of what the super apostles were doing and teaching, we get Paul bragging in response to their bragging. But it's sort of hard to know what he's doing here at first. You see him bragging, and he starts talking about this person he knows who's had an amazing and mind-blowing mystical experience, who had connected with God in ways that most mortal beings do not. And he talks about this person. And he says, well, I might brag about that one, but not about myself. I might brag about what this person experienced, but not about me. And just to be clear, to be completely clear, that friend with their golden living dreams of vision and their mystic crystal revelations, that's Paul. The person he's talking about is himself and his own experiences of the Spirit. And, you know, it's like where you go up, you're talking to a friend and they come to you and they're like, you know, I've got this friend and they've got this problem and they need some advice and I'm just asking for a friend, just for a friend. That's what Paul is doing here with this person. He's laying out for the Corinthians, I have seen things you people wouldn't believe. And these super apostles with their spiritual experiences who come here and use them to have power over you, I've had experiences that they just don't get. They don't have a candle. They are nothing before what I have experienced, but it doesn't matter. Paul didn't talk about that because he felt that that got in the way of the learning and living of the gospel. Paul knew that what mattered in the Christian life is not self-promotion, was steering away from telling tales that present you as the successful spiritual supergiant star around which all must revolve and rotate. What mattered to Paul was how you live and that others could see in you the servant grace of Jesus. Period. That's what counts. That others can see your gifts because they're there and present and central. And Paul then shares with his Corinthian listeners that there was something about him that helped keep him from getting too excited about his own amazingness. He calls it a thorn in his flesh from Satan, and I've read a ton of people speculating what that was. And the best answer to that question is, we have no idea what that was. We don't know. Paul never tells us, and if we try to project something into it, we don't know. But whatever it was something that Paul felt held him back. It kept his ego in check. It made him feel, I am not perfect because I've still got this thing. I'm still human. I'm still broken. And it means, if I'm honest with myself, I can't pretend that I am amazing. Which, honestly, eventually he took as a blessing because it made him less full of himself. It made him less proud. It made him less prone to the arrogance that he had lived out quite effectively when he was a young Pharisee, totally confident of himself and busily persecuting Christians. That reminded him, his honesty about his flaws, that it wasn't about him, and that what counted was his complete reliance on the message, grace, and spirit of Jesus. And so to the Corinthians, he says, yeah, he boasts, But he says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And the Corinthians went, what? And so he says, therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, I am strong. And the Corinthians were like, we don't get that. And what Paul is doing there confused them, because it wasn't really bragging, and it's not humble bragging either. It's much more straightforward. He's saying, yes, I know who I am, but the thing that governs my life, that guides my actions, that shapes how I respond to people and how I treat people, is not my own power or my own wealth, or in Paul's case, my skill with rhetoric and my use of language. It's instead that Paul acknowledges that he's dependent on the grace and mercy and healing word of Jesus for everything. All of us do have gifts. All of us have things that we have to share with the world. From Paul this morning, be reminded, those things are worth sharing, even some of those intense experiences that we should be honest about. Even that sense of God's grace that sometimes is strong in us, but it's never a place of pride. And in a culture that values self and pride above all things, just as Corinth did, we need to hold on to that and humbly offer up a witness to who Christ was in our deeds and in our actions, and as we lift up others in their journeys. May that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Each of us in our own way has the ability to offer up our gifts as blessings to others. We do that in our labors, in our work, in our vocation. We do that as we share with family. We do that as we teach little ones. We do that as we care for those who depend upon us. All of those gifts we're given are a blessing, but their purpose is building up the other. Their purpose is not building up ourselves and our knowledge of just how amazing and wonderful we are, because of course we are. We're amazing. That's the hardest thing when it comes to dealing with God's gifts to us. Gifts of the Spirit, gifts of support, gifts of kindness. It's so easy to turn those into, well, of course I have these gifts. I'm just so amazing. Paul recognized that challenge, and he saw how it poisoned the people of Corinth, how it turned them in all their possibility into loud, brash braggarts who pushed each other down. And he said, stop. Know the purpose of the gifts you've been given, which is to build other people up, to build community up, to build up and repair a world that cries out for the gospel's word to repair it. And so as we walk out this week, hearing Paul's voice, remember, what gifts you've been given are meant to serve and to build up in grace and to be shared freely. And that isn't always easy, and that sometimes means struggle, but it's a good struggle, worth having. So let's walk out this week, and where our egos or our grasping or our desire sort of makes us want to be a little full of ourselves, resist that. And turn instead your gifts to the grace and love that is the purpose of the gospel and the path of the kingdom. Let's try for that this week. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.